Beginning of Parsha Shlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorizes Moshe Rabbeinu to send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael, and then that turns out to be a disaster. So what did the Rabbanu Shel Olam intend in the first place? Why did he authorize Moshe Rabbeinu to send the Meraglim in the first place? What was the Kavanah? So the Jewish Agency published a drasha by Rav Soloveitchik, as if that's the only thing that Rav Soloveitchik ever said about Eretz Yisrael, was this one drasha. It gave so many hundreds of shiurim, hours and hours. So they only know one drasha. That the Tanakh describes the relationship between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael as one of a marriage, as if Eretz Yisrael is the wife and Bnei Yisrael are the husband. Hoysoki almana, and Echa you have like that. In Yirmiyah you have like that. A lot of psukim like that. Eretz Yisrael is waiting for the husband to come back. And then we had in the Teuchach and Parshas B'chukosai, the Teuchach says a curse, but it turns out to be a blessing, that when the Jewish people weren't there in Eretz Yisrael, so nothing grew for so many years, almost 2,000 years. When the Jews left, nothing grew, and when the Jews came back, everything started to grow again. And then when they chased the Jews, when the Jews left Gush Katif, so again, nothing grows there. She's like, Eretz Yisrael is like a wonderful wife who waits for her husband to come back. So Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the drasha as having said that we have a din in the Gemara Kiddushin that Asa lekadosh ha'isha ad she'irena tchila. You're not allowed to get married without dating the girl first to make sure that this is the girl for you, that you should really love her. So the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to send Meraglim. That was the date. The Meraglim represented Klal Yisrael, and that's Yirena Tchila. That was so that when the Bnei Yisrael would come, they would be able to complete this Kiddushin. And then it turned out a disaster. That's not exactly the way the Meraglim took it. I don't know. But this was a drasha that Rav Soloveitchik said. It had so many other things that are more halachic and more sturdy than that. Moshe Rabbeinu in his negotiations, in his pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet HaMeraglim, pleads with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he says, Ato yigdol no koyach Hashem kasher dibarta leimar. He pleads with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that he should do as he promised. Kasher dibarta. What do you mean kasher dibarta? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Midrashim like that. Kasher dibarta, not the way I said, but the way you said. So Rashi quotes one interpretation, and the Targum Yonasan quotes along the same lines, a different interpretation. As you said, not the way I said. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yud Gimel Midas after the Chet Egel. So he revealed the Yud Gimel Midas to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he said, Erech HaPayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu carried on the whole discussion. He said, what do you mean Erech HaPayim? Why is it in the plural? So he says, it's the tzaddikim velo rishoyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hasten to punish, not only the tzaddikim when they do a sin, even the rishoyim doesn't hasten to punish. He'll give him a chance to do tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, why? You should only be erachaf, only erachaf for the tzaddikim, not for the rishoyim. Why should you give them a break? So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, no, it's the way I said. And you'll see in the future, you're going to need my version, not your version. So now on this occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, kasher dibarta, the way you said, not the way I said. You have to be marachaf, even to the Rishoyim. That's what Rashi quotes. That's not an interesting point, that in you learn Tanakh, in our religion, which is based on Tanakh, we find the tzaddikim arguing with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Here Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, Erech HaPayim, Moshe Rabbeinu dings up. He starts to argue. Should be Erech HaF, only the tzaddikim, not the Rishoyim. Or Avraham Avinu is arguing with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that he plans to destroy Sodom. You shouldn't do it. You find throughout Tanakh like that. People are arguing with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's in our religion. Apparently in other religions you don't find such a thing. But in our religion there's a lot of room for that. You think that with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Targum Yonasan has a different twist. Also along the same lines as Rashi. Kasher dibarta, the way you said, not the way I said. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam threatened, Herf mimeni v'achaleim, I want to destroy the whole Jewish people. But I promised Avram Yitzchak Yankiv that their descendants are going to last on. I'll make you into a big nation. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak Yankiv. So I'll see to it that your descendants will be the Hemshech of the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you shouldn't do that. The promise was to all of Klal Yisrael, not just to my descendants. So now Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Yigdal Nodakarach Hashem, Kasher Dibarta, the way you said, I want Klal Yisrael to remain, and I want you to see to it that my descendants should also be a tremendous population. Like the Rabbanu Shalom said, "Eschalu Goy Gadol." I see to it that your descendants will be a whole nation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Yeah, I want that also, Kasher Dibarti, but I also want Kasher Dibarti." He wants both. That's how the Targum of Yonison says. Also, Kasher Dibarto, the way you said, not the way I said. If you look, when you look in Yecheskel and you look in Tehillim, so it says there, when the Psukim are describing the history and the Midbar, so it says the Chet HaMeraglim is spoken of, is mentioned. And then it says, on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore immediately that he's going to send the Jewish people into Golus. So when you look in Chumash, you don't really find that. The Gemara says that the Chet HaMeraglim occurred on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyo shalchinem, ani akva lechem b'chiyo ledoiris. And that's why on that day of Tisha B'Av, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Some of the other catastrophes occurred. But where does it really say that in the Chumash, in Parsha Shlach, that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to send the Jewish people into Golus? Does it really say? In Tehillim and Yecheskel, it says it explicitly. So the Nitziv, in his commentary on Chumash, interprets that the Pasuk that says, V'ulom chayoni v'imali kvod Hashem es kol ha'oretz, he wants to interpret that that's what that Pasuk means. What do the words mean? V'imali kvod Hashem es kol ha'oretz. How do you translate the words? Difficult, it's a difficult pasuk, however you read it. So he interprets that to mean, Hashem says, Salachti kidvarechu v'yolam chayoni v'imali kvod Hashem eskol haaretz, I will send the Jewish people into Golus, and wherever the Jewish people go, they're marbe kvod shamayim. So he interprets that that is the pasuk that says in the Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the Jews, that he plans to send them into Golus. Right after the Chet HaMeraglim, the Chumash speaks of the mitzvah of Nisochim, that when you bring Oilo Ushlamim, before that you have the Chet, the Mapilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the whole Dor HaMidbar is going to die, and then a group of people said, no, we do tshuva, we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, we feel bad about it, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, you better not go. And the tshuva was not accepted, and they started to go towards Eretz Yisrael, and all the other nations wiped them out. There was another destruction. It was a bloodbath. So the Rishonim discussed the kasha, why was the tshuva not accepted? So there's a famous word from the Baal Shem Tov, a taich on the pasuk. It's not at all the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, that when they said, so the Baal Shem Tov gave a mashal amad al adayman. If there are two people who are angry at each other, they don't talk to each other. So I want to make peace. So I go to one of them and I say, Yankel feels very bad that he ba'aveled you. And he knows that he's wrong. And he's embarrassed to come and apologize. So if you'll go to him and you'll apologize to him, he'll accept it right away. So go and apologize. Then he goes to the other one, Beryl, and he tells Beryl that the other guy feels bad that he hurt your feelings. And if you'll go, so if one will apologize to the other, everything will be okay. So they say that's a good idea. So they meet each other, and he says, this guy's name is Shmuel. So he said, Shmuel told me that I ba'abled you, so I apologize. So when you say, Shmuel told me that I ba'abled you, you're not admitting any guilt. You have to say, I feel bad that I hurt your feelings. I feel bad about what I did, and I apologize. So you say, Tloini claims that I did an aver, but I'm not admitting guilt. So that's not the hakoras hachet. So that's what they say from the Baal Shem Tov. When they said, Hinenu v'yolino al hamokam shama Hashem ki chatanu. So the way we usually translate the Pashat Pshat based on the truth, Hinenu, we're ready, v'yolino al hamokam shama Hashem, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, as HaKadosh Baruch instructed us, ki chatanu, we admit that we sinned. So they say the name of the Baal Shem Tov, the Taiches, and then Ve'alino al Hamakom, we're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashomer Hashem Kichatanu. The Rebbe Shalom says we sin. Okay, so if we sin, so we're saying Vidui, like on Yom Kippur. We say whatever it's printed in the city. We don't really admit that we really did it out there. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you got to say the text that it says, so we say the text. That's not called the Vidui. The first step in the Vidui is you have to have Hakara Sachet. You have to admit yourself that you did it out there. So that's what the Velt says in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Asher Hashem kichatana, the Rebbe Shlom says that we sinned, that's not called hakoras achet. Hakoras achet means you have to recognize on your own that you did a sin. The very next parasha in the Chumash is about the Sochim. The simple reading of the pasuk is ki savoy al eretz mashvasechem ashani noisalachem asisem isha l'Hashem. When you bring an oil or a shlamim, you should bring menachas and a sochim in conjunction with an oil or shlamim. So it sounds like it only applies once they'll arrive in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in the first Perek in Chagiga has a whole machlekes hatanaim. Is that true? Whether kerev nesachim amidba or lo kerev nesachim amidba, is that true that the mitzvah of nesachim only applied after they entered Eretz Yisrael, or did it even apply before they came to Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara has a whole machlekes hatanaim on the opening pasuk in Parshas Behar. Rashi has the famous comment on the first pasuk in Behar. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Then it gives the dinim of Shemit and the dinim of Yovel. So why the two written in conjunction with each other? Just like by Shemit, all the laws beginning were given in Har Sinai, the same prot, the same edict, everything from A to Z was given in Har Sinai. Same too regarding the rest of the 613 mitzvahs. Everything was given in Har Sinai. What is the issue here? So the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga explains what the issue is. The Apikursim say that the Chumash is a composite of different texts written at different times. So the Chazon Ish says, that's what it says in the Chumash. The Chumash is a composite of different texts. Sometimes it's text A, sometimes it's text B, sometimes text C. It sometimes says, V'dabba shalom ha'moyshe b'har sin aleim. Sometimes it says, V'dabba shalom ha'moyshe me'oel moed leim. Oel moed is the arboim shona in midbar. And sometimes it says, V'dabba shalom ha'moyshe me'aris moed leim. That was the end of the 40 years. So the Chumash clearly is a composite of different texts. What is that all about? All the three texts were dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu word for word and letter for letter. They weren't they were written at different times by Moshe Rabbeinu. Some were written right after Hasina. Some were written in the course of the 40 years. And some were written in Aris Moav. What is it all about? So there's a big, major machlik. The Gemara says every Tana under the world is involved in this machlik. So one Tana is of the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara quotes many more Tanoim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, common sense, Rabbi Shmuel says, some of the dinim are given from A to Z at Har Sinai. Text A. So there was no need for text B and C. Text A contained everything. Some of the dinim were not given at all at Har Sinai. Or some of the dinim were only partially given at Har Sinai. Just an outline, a sketchy outline. So then, during the course of the 40 years in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu more details and dictated the din again. So he gave more details. So then you use text B instead of using text A. Text A just has a sketchy outline. Text B has more details. And some of the dinim, even text B was only a couple of more details, and you needed text C. Before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the Arvis Moyav, the final version of the din, with more details. So Fashteitzach, you always use that text that has all the details from A to Z. So sometimes we're going to use text A because that mitzvah from the 613 mitzvahs was given by Shleimusa from the very outset. Sometimes we'll use text B, sometimes we use text C. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, not true. Kol HaTorah Kula, all the 613 mitzvahs from A to Z were given at Har Sinai. That's why Rashi holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara there in the first Perek in Chagiga has Machleg, B'Sham, and B'Silu. All the Tanaim are involved. There's a slight nafkaminas la'alocha there in the Sugya. But that's a major machlokes. What is this all about, that the Chumash is a composite of the three different texts? So the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that text A contained all the 613 mitzvahs with all the details. Then text B was dictated differently. Weiter, all the 613 mitzvahs with all the details. So what did you need text B for? What was wrong with text A? Every single detail that you'll find in text B was already contained in text A. And then it was given a third time. The Torah was given three times in Arvis Maya before Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals again, text C, the exact same dinim, everything from A to Z, with a totally different version of everything. And then before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, with respect to this mitzvah, we use text A. With respect to this mitzvah, we use text B. With respect to this mitzvah, we use text C. So what was it? So the Chazon Ish writes, so what was the need for the three different texts? I mean, just the variety is the spice of life. What was wrong with text A if it contained everything? Why did Baruch Shalom have to dictate another text and a third text? And then before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, he tells him, cut out, snip out on your on your computer, snip out this text and use it, and snip out that text for that mitzvah, and snip out the third text for the third mitzvah. We don't understand. That's what the Chazon Ish says. If you would have assumed like Rabbi Shmuel, we understand why there was a need for three different texts. Things were added the second time, things were added the third time. Whenever you have the mitzvah b'shleimus, so then you use that text. So the Gemara says this is also involved in that machlokes. Is it possible to say kisavoy al eretz mashu sechem that the mitzvah only began after the commentary to Israel? According to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Shmuel holds like that. Lo kerev nesachem b'midbar. In the midbar, the mitzvah nesachem to bring menachos and nesachem in conjunction with an oil or shlamim wasn't observed. The mitzvah only begins after they enter Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Akiva and many Tanoim disagree. They're saying there is no such thing. All the mitzvahs are given right away from day number one. Torah Tmim adds on a little bit over here. He says, if you look earlier in Chumash, by the Korbanos Tzibur, in the midbar, they certainly had menachos and nesachem. It says beferish. The whole machlokes HaTanaim is only regarding Korbanos Yochid. If a Yochid wants to be menadev voilo shlamin. But on the Korbanos Tzibur, everybody agrees. Now he quotes a psikta like that, the beferish, that the machlokes HaTanaim is only on the Korban Yochid. Whether the Korban Yochid needs menachos and nesachem or not. These menachos are different from a normal mincha. And a normal mincha in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Tzav, the kohen does kmitza with his right hand, and then he takes a kohimetz, a little bit of the flour, and he burns it on the mizbeach, and then the rest is eaten by the zichri kohunim, unless it's a minchas kohen. If a kohen is paying for the korban mincha, it's his korban on his behalf, then you don't do kmitza. Minchas kohen is a kolol. You burn the whole thing. But over here, we're not talking about a mincha which is bo bifneyatz. We're talking about a mincha that's bo biglal hazevach. I bring an oil shlamim, so the halacha requires in conjunction with the oil shlamim, I should bring a menachas and a sochem. So whenever you bring a minchas and a sochem, a mincha in conjunction with a carbon, then you burn the whole thing, that you don't do kmitza. So this parsha, right after the mapilim, the parsha speaks about a mitzvah. The simple reading of the parsha is that it only begins to be observed when they'll come to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. That's the pashup shah. Then the next parsha is about Hafrashas Chala. That's also B'vayachem al Haaretz, the mitzvah when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you mafish Chala. So the Torah Tmima quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Torah to Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. When the Meragim came back from touring Eretz Yisrael, so they come into the Beis Medrash, and Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a shir on Menachos and Nesachim. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, this will be the din, and Hafrashas Chala. And he's talking about Shumas and Maisis and Shmita V'Yoivol. Then the Meragim come back and they said, what Eretz Yisrael? When Eretz Yisrael? We'll never succeed to get to Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing to discuss. That's why the Chumash writes these parshiyos right after the story of the Mapilim. It's really in conjunction with the Meraglim. That's how the Yerushalmi says, when the Meraglim came back, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching. All the mitzvahs are tliyos ba'aretz. And then they said, forget about it. You'll never live so long to do these mitzvahs. We won't succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of challah is considered a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. Min HaTorah, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But it's very difficult to understand why. Why should challah be considered a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz? It doesn't, the din of challah doesn't depend where the flour grew. When you make a cake or cookies or bread, it doesn't matter where the flour grew, whether the grain grew in Eretz or Chutz L'Aretz. Even if you have grain that grew in Chutz L'Aretz, but you do the lisha, you import flour from America to Eretz Yisrael and you make bread there, so that's chayv and challah. If you take flour from Eretz Yisrael to America and you mix it in America and you make dough from it, you're not chayv and challah menater. That's called challah chutz l'aretz. So it really doesn't matter where the grain grew, that's beferish and mishnais and challah. It matters where you do the lisha. Where you do the lisha. So why is that considered a mitzvah tlibarz? Why is that an agricultural mitzvah? But that's the din. It's considered a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. When you mafrish challah, so many women have the practice that they say the bracha lahafrish challah min ha'isul. That's the text that the Ramo has in Shulchan Aruch. So the Vilna Gaon is not happy with that. He quotes a klal from the Avudram, and earlier Rishonim also. The whole Sefer Avudram is a commentary on the Siddur based on the assumption that every bracha and every Nusach HaTfilo has to be in Biblical Hebrew. a fancier Hebrew is biblical Hebrew, not like they write Hebrew in the newspapers, not spoken Hebrew, biblical Hebrew. So the question is that correct in biblical Hebrew? Lahafrish chala min ha'isa. So the Vilna Gaon says in biblical Hebrew the word chala means isa, and the thing that you mafrish is called truma. So the correct nusach habracha is like the Mechaber writes, not like the Rambam. He says you should really say shevchan chasano alafrashas truma. You shouldn't say lahafrish chala min ha'isa. Chala min ha'isa is a colloquial expression. Chala. It's a Yiddishism. It's a Yiddishism that the Tanoim used. It's called maseches chala. And the Mishnah always talking about hafrash haschala. That's how the Tanoim, that's how we always talk like that. But that's what the Vilna Gaon points out, that based on the assumption of the Avudram, that all brachas are supposed to be composed in biblical Hebrew, so the whole Nusach HaBracha doesn't read straight. That's a question in the Gemara. Is this really Oizgam? So the Vilna Gaon has a riot to the Avudram. But the Mishnah Brachas. Mishnah Brachas says, if you eat al hayirakas, I'm a bari mini dishoim. If you eat green vegetables, you say a bracha. One Tana holds, he said bari mini dishoim. We don't pass like that. We pass them that on all vegetables, he say bari pri hadam. And one Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees that you have to have a bracha mufuretis. You don't just say shahakal on everything. You say bari pri hadam or bari pri hoitz. So even within vegetables, you should be mechalek, and on some of them, you should say bari mini d'shoim. So the Vilna Gaon comments on the Mishnah, why does it say, if you're eating yirakas, you say bari mini d'shoim? You should say, if you're eating yirakas, say bari mini yirakas. Or you should say, if you're eating d'shoim, say bari mini d'shoim. Why does it switch? If you're eating yirakas, say bari mini d'shoim. So he says, because the Mishnah speaks in Mishneik Hebrew. In Mishneik Hebrew, these vegetables are referred to as yirakas. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't call them d'shoim. But the Nusach HaBrach has to be in biblical Hebrew. So biblical Hebrew we call Yirakas Dishoim. So he says that explains why the Mishnah has a Shinu Loshim. The Gemara in Brachas and Perikates and Mevorachim has a discussion. We say Bari Mini Mizainis. We say Bari Mini Mizainis only on cake and cookies or Wheaties or something like that, on Chameshis Mini Dogan. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, is that correct, that in biblical Hebrew, the word Muslim only applies to Chameshis Mini Dogon? So the Gemara discusses discusses a contradiction. The Gemara has a kasha from a Mishnah in the Dorim. If a person takes a neder and he says, Kol Hazon, a lie, anything that gives nourishment, I take a neder not to eat it, he's not allowed to eat any food except for mayim and melach. Water doesn't give any nourishment, and salt doesn't give any nourishment. And everything else, you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara is bothered with this kasha. How come in the Mishnah in the Dorim, he says, kol hazon alai includes all foods, so why does the bracha bar mini mizainis only apply to the chameshis mini dong? So the Gemara works on that kasha. The Gemara works on the kasha. So the Nitziv, in his commentary on the Shiltis, says, what was the whole kasha in the first place? In the Dorim, it always depends on Lashon B'nei Adam. So in Lashon B'nei Adam, people use the expression of Mezainis to apply to anything that gives nutrition, anything that's nourishing. Mashenikin, in biblical Hebrew, you only refer to Mazon if it's from the Chameshis Min Adam. So maybe the Brocha, maybe there's no kasha in the first place. The bracha bar mina mezainis has to be in biblical Hebrew. So in biblical Hebrew, mezainis only refers to chameshis mina dogan. And the Mishnah in the Dorim is in Dorim halacha halosh manam. So why did the Gemara consider that a kasha? So the Nitziv claims, you see from that Gemara that the whole Avudram is wrong. The whole premise of the whole Sefer Avudram is wrong. The Vilna Gaon is going with the Avudram that all brachas and all tefillas have to be in biblical Hebrew. So the Nitziv claims from that sugi and brachas that the Gemara is the contradiction between the Mishnah in the Dorim and the Din in Brachas, Birchas Hanenin, he says, from that sugi, you see that it's not correct. The whole premise is not correct. But we usually do follow the Avudram. The Kashas are good to Kasha, but we usually do follow the Avudram.
Will we be saying on the Tilos Kapos tomorrow?
Yeah, we have a lot of Kashas. What is the Anatilos Lulav? In biblical Hebrew, it's not a Lulav. In Mishnah, we call it a Lulav. Laniach tefillin. tefillin is a targum loshen. We don't say, we should say laniach taitofis, laniach something else. We have a lot of kashas. There are a lot of kashas. Ah, so this expression never appears in Tanakh. Motzei lach min ha'aretz.
I thought it's the Tehillim Kuf Dalet.
So how does it say?
I thought it says Motzei lach min ha'aretz. I could double check, but it's correct. It's Tehillim Kuf
Dalet. Sounds up as far familiar.
It's Tehillim Kuf
Dalet.
Says min ha'adama.
I don't remember. Does the Grah change anything else other than Bechal?
I don't remember.
Lahotzi lechem min haaretz. Tehillim kuf dalet. Pasik yud dalet.
I mean, even in Tanakh, sometimes you have it like that.
Lahotzi lechem min haaretz.
But that's clearly the premise of the Ibn Yarchi, and that's the premise of the Abu Jam. The whole from the beginning of the Sefer to the end. The premise is that all brachas and all tefillas have to be in biblical Hebrew, officially. So here and there you have a problem. Yeah, the Pashtus in the Mishnah is that one is obligated to be mafresh challah even on cake and cookies. There's a lot of the bakers in New York, they all know the Aruch HaShulchan. They know the Shver Aruch HaShulchan, that if you make cake and cookies that people only eat as a nash, as a snack, so you don't have to be mafresh challah. But it's a difficult era. He quotes it from the Rabbeinu Yonah Brachas, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah commenting on the riff. It's a difficult Rabbeinu Yonah. It's difficult, Rabbeinu Yonah. The Pashtus is not like that Aruch HaShulchan. The Pashtus is that cake and cookies is also a chayv and challah. If you use enough flour, aye, but it says, Vayavachochem mi lechem ha'aretz. How come that's called, why is cake and cookies called lechem? So the answer is that if you eat enough cake and cookies, then you say hamoitzin, and you have to wash until the siddam, you have to say birchas hamoz. And that's exactly why we refer to cake and cookies is pas habo bikisna. It means that it's a subcategory of pas. It is pas, but it's a subcategory of pas. If you eat wheatina or farina or oatmeal cereal, you can eat a ton of it. You never say hamaitzi. You never wash until it's a dime. It doesn't have a tzuris hapas at all. In order to be chayim achala, it has to have a tzuris hapas. The Gemara says, Gemara uses the expression tzuris hapas in a different sense. If it has a tzuris hapas, then you say hamaitzi. If it doesn't have a tzuris hapas, then you say mezainis. That's a different word. That's a different usage of the expression tzuris hapas. And the Gemara means, does it look like bread or does it look like cake? But even if it looks like cake, it has a tzuris hapas, means it's a loaf shape. That is called Milechem Ha'aretz. Yeah. Mid the Rabbanan, the Chachamim introduced the Trumas and Maises by Rotzas HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael, and countries that border Eretz Yisrael. But Chala, they introduced all over the world. So Taisus in the first Perek in Kiddushin, the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin, raises that issue. Why were they Machmer more? Why did they introduce Chalas, Chutz L'Eretz, all over the world? Even in Australia, even in New Zealand, that's so far away from Eretz Yisrael. Not our Ratzus HaSmucha. So why do they introduce the mitzvah of challah there? The Tosfos says, Shelot tishtakach mitzvah challah. We shouldn't forget about the mitzvah of challah. Okay, but we shouldn't forget about the mitzvah of Trumas Maisis either. So why challah is different? The Tosfos says, because challah doesn't really look like a mitzvah tlibar. It's like we pointed out, we don't really understand it. It depends where you do the lisha. It doesn't depend where the grain grew. You have grain that grew in Chutz Loretz, but you do the lisha in Eretz Yisrael, Chayv and challah. Yeah, grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, do lish and chutz lords, minatur, it's not chayv and challah. So that's what Tosfos says. They were machmen more on challah because it doesn't look like a mitzvah tlibos. It really looks like a choyvis aguf, choyvis gavra, is noyig bein boretz, bein b'chutz lords. The Torah says that this challah, what we call challah, in the Chumash, when it says reishis, I will say sechem challah, the word challah means the dough, torim or truma. What you take out, what we call challah, in the Chumash is called truma. Kisruma's goyren, kein torim oisa, has the same status just like the truma that the farmer's mafrish in his barn has the exact same din. What are the dinim of truma? That a non-kohen is not permitted to eat truma. And if one, a non-kohen, eats truma, b'mezid, his chai misa v'dei shamayim, if it's really chalas eretz Yisrael. And if he eats the chala, if he eats the truma b'shoigig, he has obligated to give karam v'chaymesh as a kapara. Just like if a person violates an aver b'shoigig, which if he would have violated b'mezid, he would have been chayv kori. So if he violates the aver b'shoigig, he chayv chatos. Kol shev zdanu kori shegos chatos. Here, the Gemara makes such an equation with an afkamina la'alacha that here Because if a zar would eat challah truma b'mezid, he would mechay misa b'dei shamayim. So if he eats a b'shoigeg, he has to give karen v'chaymish as a kapor. That's for the purpose of kapor. Then the Mishnah says in Maseches Me'ila, there's a machlokes satanayim. We paskin, let's say, in order to get malchus, how much chazer do you have to eat? I want to eat some ham. So how much ham do I have to eat in order to get malchus? One tana says, kol shu'ul malchus. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin, you have to eat a kazayis. Why? Because ain't achila b'chusim b'kazayis. It's not called achila. So what if I'm eating ham together with kosher food? Together, the whole thing has a kazayis. But there isn't a kazayis in the trefa part alone. So that's a machlokes satanayim, where the hetem mitzdarf l'isa. We paskin, no, ain't hetem mitzdarf l'isa. What about isurim mitzdarf mzem zem? What if I eat a half a kazayis of pigol and a half a kazayis of chazer? But they're two different things, two different isurim. So Rab Meir is of the opinion that isurim mitzdarf from zem zem. Bottom line, you ate a kazayis of trefa, so you get malchus. We don't accept that opinion. We paskin ain't isurim mitzdarf from zem zem. The only time they mitzdarf from is if shmaseim shavim and shirem shavim. Let's say I eat half a kazayis of nevela from chicken, half a kazayis of nevela from flesh, from meat. So this is chicken and this is meat, but it's the same thing. It's shmaseim shavim, it's nevela, and it's shirem shavim. The shir is kazayis, whether it's nevela from chicken, nevela from meat. So that's the Mishnah Milah, shirem shavim, shmaseim shavim. Then they mitzdarf. So the Mishnah says, what if a non-kohen eats a kazayis of food that he's not permitted to eat? A quarter of a kazayis of challah, a quarter of a kazayis of truma, a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of a kazayis of maisa min ha-maisa. That's in Parshas Korah. That's in this week's Seder. Maisa min ha-maisa. So the Mishnah says, it's all shame echad. All four have the shame truma. Bikurim and challah and maisa min ha-maisa are referred to by the Torah as truma. So it's shmaseim shavim, shirem shavim. That's mitzdarfim zeim zeh. That's considered. That's all considered truma. Rashi on Chumash quotes the Gemara's comment in Ksubas Daf Chav Dalet, the second paragraph of Ksubas. So the Gemara says all the mitzvahs atliyas baritz only began to be noeg starting from the 15th year after Kibush, after they started conquering Eretz Yisrael. It says in Tanakh, it says in Sefer Yeshua that it took Yeshua ben Nun with the army took 7 years till they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara says in the end of Erchin that we have a tradition, an oral tradition that doesn't say anywhere in Tanakh, that it took an additional 7 years to do the Chalukos Haaretz. So 7 and 7 is 14. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah Satliyas Baritz didn't begin till the 15th year. That the Chiv to be Mafish Trumas and Maisvis only began in the 15th year because Eretz didn't yet have Kedushas Haaretz until Kibush V'Chiluk. The Chalukos Haaretz was considered the Gemara of the Kibush. Because, man, you didn't do the Chalukah, the Shvatim, and the Mishpachas, and the Yechidim, so the Kedusha wasn't yet completed. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, that's called Kedusha Rishayna. Then we assume that Kedusha Rishayna was Batla, when the Babylonian armies destroyed Beis HaMikdash, and they took over Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, so our Kibush was undone. So the Kedusha swords disappeared, vanished into thin air. Then it had to be Mekadosh again a second time. And Ezra came back and he built the second Mekadosh. It had to be Mekadosh a second time. That's called Kedusha Shniyah. So the Kedusha Rishayna was Ayide Kibush. And the Kibush wasn't completed till after the 7 years of Chalukah. So all the other mitzvahs, Hatlis, Bards, didn't begin till year 15. The Rambam explains also that Shemitah, the mitzvah that the Bezin should count every year, year number one, year number two, that only began in the 15th year. So the first Shemitah was observed in year 21, not year 7. Year 21, because the first 14 years didn't count. And the first Yovel was not year 50, it was year 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. So they only started counting after Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha. The one exception to the rule that we had a mitzvah, Tliya Ba'aretz, that was noig right away, was Bevayachem El Ha'aretz, as you enter Eretz Yisrael. They entered Eretz Yisrael from day number one, they're mechuyev in Challah. Even though the land didn't have Kedusha Saret. So the Gemara in Ksubas says, first the Gemara says like this, that even if one should assume that Kedusha Shniyah was Batla, that's a machlekes in the Gemara in many places. There's a machlekes Hatanan where the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla. The Kedusha that Yeshua ben Nun endowed Eretz Yisrael with, was that Kedusha overturned at the time of Churban Bais Rishon or not? So the accepted opinion is Kedusha Rishayna was Batla. During the 7 years of Golas Bavel, Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kedush. Then, when Ezra came back, he was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time. There was no Kibush. There was no kibush. It was under. There was no kibush. There was no Jewish government till the days of the Hashmonaim. That was the end of the Baisheni period, several centuries after the beginning of the Baisheni. So how did Arzel have kedusha if there was no kibush? So it was some other mekadesh. The mekadesh the first time in the days of Yeshua was the kibush. He needed kibush v'chibuk. He needed after 14 years. That was the gemara v'kibush. The second mekadesh, the Rambam says, was chazaka. Means when they moved in, they moved in Eretz Yisrael. They declared that the land should be mekudesh. That was mekadesh the land. So that's a machleika. That's a further machleika. Satanai. But the kedusha shniya was batla loy batla, and that's a machleika in Shulchan Aruch. So how do we assume halacha lemaisa? Rov harishayim assume that the kedusha shniya was loy batla. That after the churban b'sheni, the kedusha was not overturned. The kedusha rishayim, the Rambam explains, the kedusha rishayim was accomplished through kibush. So when the kibush was undone, when the Babylonians took away Eretz Yisrael from us, so that it's like yanking the rug out from under you, so the whole kedusha disappeared. But the kedusha shniya was not based on kibush. They declared we are mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. So just because it's taken away in the year 70, it's taken away. We didn't have shlita in the beginning either. In the days of Ezra, the first couple of centuries till the days of the Hashmonaim, they didn't have an independent Jewish government. So what if they take away the land from the Jews, but he didn't have it in the first place? So the Kedusha Shniyah should be Loi Batla. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon quotes the Sefer HaTruma, Rabbeinu Baruch, the Baal HaTosfos, writes in Sefer HaTruma, he holds even Kedusha Shniyah was also Batla. It's a discussion what Rashi holds. Rashi and Sanhedrin, in the third Perek, interprets the Gemara that the Gemara is saying, Halacha L'maisa, bottom line, that like Sefer HaTruma, the Kedusha Shniyah Batla. So that's a pilpul in the Beis HaLevi and other poskim. What is Rashi's opinion? But the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is not like Rashi. We assume la'alocha that the Kedusha Shniyah was loy batla. So the Gemara there in Ksubas has two versions of what the halacha should be regarding chala b'zman hazeh. So the first version of the Gemara says like this. Even if one should assume that Kedusha Shniyah batla and the chiyav to be mafresh chumas and maisis in Eretz Yisrael today, it would only be midirabanan because the Kedusha Shniyah was batla, but the chiyav chala would be midatur. Why? Because you see in the first 14 years they were chayv and chal, even though Eretz Yisrael didn't have any kedusha. You see that the chayv chala doesn't depend on kedusha Eretz Yisrael, just depends on shame Eretz Yisrael. So b'zman hazeh, even if you should assume the kedusha shniya batla, like the Rabbeinu Baruch, that there's no kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, but it's still Eretz Yisrael, it still has the shame Eretz Yisrael, it still belongs to the Jewish people. We didn't lose our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first version in the Gemara, the first loshen in Ksubas Daf Chav Dalet. That even if you hold Kedusha Shniya Batla, that Chiyav Chala would remain the Araisa B'zman Hazeh. Because Sharei, the first 14 years, Yud Dalet, Shekov, Shevechilku, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet, but it was Chayiv and Chala, B'vayachem al Haaretz, take it from Yad, M'shun, B'yizim, B'kol, B'yo, Shabbat Torah. It's not after the 14 years right away. So you see that Chala depends on Shem Eretz Yisrael, so even B'zman Hazeh, that if you should assume there's no Kedusha, but it retains Shem Eretz Yisrael. That's a very good question. So the Rambam writes that, and there are more rights in Yerodeh. The meaning is that you follow that Rambam, that that the Chi of Chumas and Maestris, Bizman Azeh, Afilo Bizman Ezra, was only the Rabbanu. Afilo in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, when they created the Kedusha Min HaTorah, so the Chi of Chumas and Maestris was only the Rabbanu. Why? So the Rambam says, because you need Bias Kulchem. So that's the question. Where did he get that idea from? Who ever mentions a word about Bias Kulchem? So the source for Bias Kulchem is this Gemara in Ksubas, the second Lashon. Chavdala Namibes in Ksubas. Why is it in Ksubas is a good question. We don't have any Talmud Bavli on Zeroyim. So they had to throw all the Dinim of Zeroyim throughout all of Shas and sprinkled all over the place. So this is in Ksubas Chavdala, the second parak in Ksubas. So the Gemara has this. The first Lashon is that even if one should assume Kedusha Shniyo Batla, but still there'll be a chiyav chala men atar because chala depends on shem eretz, so it doesn't depend on kedusha's art. Second lashon is fakir. Even if one should assume that kedusha shniya is kitchel asilovai and the chiyav chumas and maises is their aisa, but the chiyav chala will only be the rabbanon. Why? Because the pasuk says b'vayachem yinid bias kulchem, and bizman Ezra there wasn't bias kulchem. It was a small percentage of the population came back to Eretz Yisrael. The overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population did not return to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Bias Shniyah. We still don't have Bias Kulchem. We still don't have the majority of the world Jewish population still lives in Chutz Lartz. So that's the second Lashon in the Gemara. So the second Lashon in the Gemara is Medayik this Lashon Bevayachem, implying Bias Kulchem, and says explicitly it only applies to Challah, doesn't apply to Truma. That's the Pela and the Rambam. The Rambam says the Chi of Trumas and Maisis Bizman Azeh, Afilu Bimei Ezra was only the Rabbanon, even though the Kedusha Shnia was their Isa, even though it still has Kedusha. Has Kedusha Benegeh to other Dinim. When they get to Leket Shikra Peya, when they get to those din, but when they get to Trumas and Maisres, so the Rambam says the Chiyuv to be Mafrish will only be the Rabbanon because of a lack of Bias Kulchem. So that's a Pella, isn't it? Beferish against the Gemara. Gemara said Beferish in Ksubas Chavadalanam and Beis in the second Lashon. Bias Kulchem only applies to Challah and doesn't apply to Trumas and Maisres. So there's something problematic with that Rambam, that the Rambam writes that you need Bias Kulchem with respect to Trumas and Maisus. So the Beis HaLevi quotes in the name Rab Chaim that what the Rambam really meant to say was something else, that the Chiyuv Hafrashas Trumas and Maisus depends on which year you're holding by. There's a Shemitah cycle every seventh year of Shemitah, so when it's a Shemitah year, so everything is Hefker. And since all the parents that grow a hefker, so there's an obligation to be mafrish any trumas and maisers. That's a mishnah. You only chayiv on trumas and maisers if it's ben hamishumer. If it's ben hamufker, so you're not chayiv. And then the 6 years of the shmita cycle that is not hefker are broken down into two units. So the first 2 years you're mafrish truma gedoyla maiser rishon and maiser sheni. The third year, instead of being mafrish maiser sheni, you're mafrish maiser oni. And then the first 6 years of the fourth year is called Shas HaBir. You have to give away all the Trumas and Maisers by Erev Pesach of the fourth year. Then the fourth year, fifth year, sixth year is the next 3 year cycle. So the fourth year and the fifth year are repeat of the first year and the second year. Ma'av Shetum Gedoyla Maiser Rishon Maiser Sheni. Maiser Sheni, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it B'Kedusha V'Tahara. The sixth year is a repeat of the third year. You have to Ma'av Shetum Gedoyla Maiser Rishon Maiser Oni instead of Maiser Sheni. And then you have Shnas Habir, Shas Habir, the first 6 months of the seventh year, you have to give away all the Trumas and Maisers that you have from the last 3 years. And then the seventh year, of course, everything is Shemitah, everything is Hefker. So there's no Chiv Afrosha on anything. So Abchaim said, the Chiv to be Mafrish, Trumas and Maisers, depends on Shemitah. So now the question is, does Shemitah depend on Yoivol or not? The Chumash says in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, the two Parshios there. So first it says, you count 6 years. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, Sheshanim Dizra Sodecha, you should work the field for 6 years. Bashanah Shri Shabbos Shabbos and Yel Arts, seventh year of Shemitah. Who determines what year it is? So the Torah says, V'safar Telecho, the Bez Nagadol should count the years. Every year they count this year number one, year number two. So year number seven is Shemitah. Then you have a Stuma in the Chumash after the Parsha of Shemitah. Then you have the next Parsha, Zabat Yoivo. After you have seven times Shemitah, you have 49 years, so the 50th year is the Jubilee year, it's Yovel. So the question is, does Shemitah have to be observed even if you know it can't lead up to Yovel? Or do you say, no, Shemitah, you're only obligated to observe Shemitah if you know it's going to lead up to Yovel? What do you mean? Why do you think it's not going to lead up to Yovel? Because it says, it's a draw baris l'chol yashveh. Pasuk Yud, the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Krosim draw baris l'chol yashveh. That's the pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So the Gemara has a comment. What do you mean l'chol yashveh? The Liberty Bell was paid for by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania, so we paid for that Liberty Bell. So they decided they were so happy about freedom, the concept of freedom of religion. So they had that inscribed on the bell. It was made in Europe and it was transported to America. So the Gemara comments, what does it mean, l'chol yashveh? So the Gemara says, bezman, shekol yashveh ha'oleho. The Rambam quotes the pasuk, b'vayachem el ha'oretz. So b'vayachem ha'oretz, that's only by Chala, that's not by Trumas and Maisus. So that Rambam is shver. So the Beis HaLevi quotes from Rab Chaim, what he really meant to quote was this pasuk, across from Dor Ba'aretz, l'chol yashveh, that Yovel only is observed when you have kol yashveh ha'oleho. And there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Sifro on the beginning of Bahar that's quoted, alluded to the first daf in Maseches Moed Katan, and in the middle of Maseches Gittin, this machlek is referred to, are you obligated to observe Shemitah when you know it's not going to lead up to Yovel? You say, every 7th year we observe Shemitah, and that doesn't lead up to any Yovel. So that's why Rov HaPoskim say that Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanah, because the accepted opinion is Rebbe's opinion in this Sifra, that you only have to observe Shemitah when it's going to lead up to Yovel. So why is it not going to lead up to Yovel? Because you don't have Kol Yoshveh HaAleh. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted by the Beis HaLevi, by his father, as explaining the Rambam. The Rambam didn't mean to quote the Pasuk B'Vayachem, Bias Kulchem. He really meant to quote the other Pasuk, B'Zman Shekol Yoshveh HaAleh, means that since Shemitah today is only the Rabbanah, because it's not leading up to any Yovel, because you don't have Kol Yoshveh HaAleh, so Shemitah doesn't exist on the level of the Ma'aseh, so Trumas and Ma'aseh don't exist. Trumas and Ma'aseh is only Chayv, depending on which year of the Shemitah cycle it is. If there's no Shemitah cycle, so the whole Trumas and Ma'aseh system collapses.
What about Trumah?
Right, so Trumah is only the Rabbanan. Trumah is also a din, you can't be Mafish Mishana Al Chavata. It says, Aser Taser, let's say Trumah every year is the same. And Ma'aseh Rishon every year is the same, and nonetheless the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Aser Ta'aseh called Tuvas Arecha Yotze Asoda Shano Shano. So the Gemara understands on that pasuk Shano Shano, you can't be mafish mishana al chavato. If you have bushels of tefuah that grew in year number one, and bushels of tefuah that grew in year number two, in Hafrosha year number one, year number two are exactly the same. They're both Ma'aseh Sheni. But everything is the same as regarding Truma, regarding Ma'aseh Rishon. Everything is exactly the same all the 6 years. Still, it can't be Mafish Mishana Al Chavata. So Trumas and Ma'aseh, everything depends on which year of the Shemitah cycle is it. So if you don't have Yovel, so you can't have Shemitah. So that's the problem with the text of the Rambam. Maybe there's a misprint of the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam made a mistake. Instead of writing Bevayachem Bias Kulchem, he should have written really L'chol Yashver, that you need Bizman Shekol Yashver HaAleh. Rashi also quotes a comment that when you're mafish chalet, has to be reishis harisa sechem. It has to be reishis sheshiorel nikorek. How much are you mafish for chalet? I have a big batch of dough. I decide to donate half of it to the kohen. Give half of it. You want to give 90% to the kohen. That's very generous. Okay, give 90%. And I'm chayv to give so much to the kohen. Well, let's say you decide to give it all to the kohen. So the Mishnah says it's not chalet. It's not chal. Chal has to be matah the yisa tevel. You have to remove the yisa tevel from something. You have to take out part of chal. You can take 99% of chal, leave over 1%, but you have to have reishis, shir shirah, and nikam. You have to leave something over. You can't give everything as chal.
In years past, you've quoted Rav Hankin about the how many pounds, the three categories.
Rav Hankin writes in his Sefer, Rav Hankin was the big paisik in New York before Rav Moshe came on the scene. So Rav Hankin writes in his Sefer that roughly speaking, if you use 3 pounds of flour, you should be mafresh challah without a bracha. When you use 5 pounds of flour, you make one big batch of dough, then you're mafresh challah with a bracha. So some point out there are different opinions. That's what Rav Hankin is talking, the different opinions. How much Rashi quotes that you're obligated to give challah if you make reishis arisa sechmi, you use as much flour as isas midbar, asiris waifa. Everybody collected asiris waifa of mon every day in the midbar. So how much is asiris waifa? So it's mem gimel beitzim v'choymish beitzim. That's the Mefarshim on the Mishnah's point that the word challah began matria is mem gimel, is 43. So it's really 43.2. Mem gimel beitzim v'chaimish beitzah. So that's the question, how big is it ke beitzah?
The hay is a fifth.
Okay. So that's the question. So some point out, maybe even slightly less than 3 pounds is also a sofek. Maybe even slightly more than 5 pounds is also a shtikl sofek. Whether you chayim chal. But that's roughly speaking. If between 3 and 5 pounds, you're mafish with a bracha. If it's more than 5 pounds, then you're mafish with a bracha.
If one is held to a chala after and is seen as a mind before Gilgal,
correct, The Mishnah has like that. If you mix the flour with the water, but it didn't yet develop to become a dough, a real dough, so if you'll eat it, you won't be chayiv. If you eat tebel, you chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. The punishment is if it will be challah deraisa. Bizman is that we assume even challah in Eretz Yisrael is only the rabbanon, because we don't have bias kulchan. We pass like the second lashon in the Gemara. The challah bizman is as the rabbanon because we don't have bias kulchan. So, but if you would have had challah deraisa, if you would have eaten when you mix the flour with the water, there wouldn't be misa b'dei shamayim. It's not yet an iser tevel, but still the Mishnah learns out from a drasha from the pasuk that the hafrasha is chal. And the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi that it's preferable to be mafrish then. Preferable to be mafrish before it becomes, to prevent it from becoming tevel. The Ravid argues with that Rambam. Rambam is quoting Yerushalmi. The Ravid argues with the Rambam. He goes, no, it's preferable to wait till after it becomes tevel and then to be mafrish. And the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi, no, it's preferable to be mafrish before it becomes tevel, before Gilgal. Gilgal is when it's stuck a thick dough. And it's seen as Amayim, I just poured the water in. So the Mishnah says either it's l'chatchili should be mafrish then, or it's chal. But yeah, but if you mafrish then, it'll be chal.
Did Rebbe quote with Hankin because is this the way the island is knowing?
Yeah, that's the common practice. Approximately between 3 and 5 pounds you mafrish chal without a bracha, and more than 5 pounds you mafrish chal with a bracha. Yeah, chalas chutz la'aretz is it the rabbanon on top of it, the rabbanon. Chalas eretz sub is man is as only the rabbanon. So chalas chutz la'aretz is the rabbanon on top of the rabbanon, especially it's barotzes arachoykes. We live so far away from Eretz Yisrael. They made a din with the rabbanon barotzes asmuches la'aretz, the countries that border Eretz Yisrael. So that makes sense that yechayv to be mafresh chumas amaisis with the rabbanon, because it could be that they're selling grain over there, grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. They just took it over the border. So they made a chumra with the rabbanon the barotzes asmuches la'aretz. You have to observe all the mitzvahs at least la'aretz. But Ratzis are Chaykas, they never introduced such a chumra, only by Chala they made it. So that's what the Gemara has in Bchoris, Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara has a whole list of kulas that only apply to Chala's chutzlords. One kula after the other. One of the many kulas is Zecha Vahelech Lecha Kach Mafrish. Let's say I buy from a kosher bakery, and I know that they don't mix in any non-kosher ingredients, but I know for a fact, or I have a strong hunch, that they're not Mafrish Chala. A lot of the bakeries are like that. They're strictly kosher, but they're not careful about hafrash eschal. Some of the bakeries, they have a psak from their Rabbi Machsha that they don't have to be mafrish chal. On certain cakes and cookies, if it's a batter that you pour it, there's no thick belila ova at all. So some poskim are of the opinion that you're not chayv chal. Rabbi Neza has a whole tshuva about that in Chiluk Yeridei. He says that was the minig of all the bakers. All the bakers are like that you pour a batter and you don't have a thick belila ova, you don't have a thick isa, so you're not chayv chalas. He says, the bakers don't know anything about anything. Don't follow the minhag of the bakers. Look up the din in Shulchan Aruch and find out what the din is. So he has a whole tshuva, and he comes to the conclusion that the bakers are right. First he bops him over the head. They don't mean hug him, it doesn't mean anything. And then he comes to the conclusion that there is room to hakel over there. So, but strictly speaking, Rav Soloveitchik said that his mother told him when she got married to her father, Sir Rav Chaim told her that she doesn't have to be mafrish challah on sponge cake because it has a liquidy batter. You just pour it. It's not thick at all. So he said, achalas chutz la'aretz, we can be mekel on that. And Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say like that. So many rabbanim are mekel on that. So let's say I buy cake and cookies from even if I buy bread, a lot of the bakers think you're only chayv and challah if you're making challah. If you're making bread, you're not chayv and challah. They think it has something to do with Shabbos and Yom Tov Digei Challahs. It has nothing to do with Shabbos challahs. So if you have a bakery where you're concerned that maybe they weren't mafrish challah, it's a mafrish challah without a bracha. So the Gemara says there in Chorus, you can be oichel v'hoylech v'ahakach mafrish. You don't have to be mafrish the challah before you eat it. When you have real tevel deraisa, real tevel derabanan, there's an isa to eat it before you mafrish shumas amaisas. But a challah chutz la'aretz will make all on that. You can eat to your heart's content as long as lead over a little bit in the end, and then in the end you'll be mafrish challah from that. So that's talk a big deal in Achrayim, a big machlokes in Achrayim. What is the nature of that din? Echad v'helach lachkach mafrish means that there's no isa tevel. It's just that there's a mitzvah safrasha. Just a mitzvah safrasha. And others assume the pashtus is the second way. Others assume no, there is an isa tevel. If it turns out that you're not going to be mafrish challah in the end, it'll be glory Muslim affair that everything that you ate was tevel. You can eat the tevel now on the smach that later you're going to leave over a little bit. And you'll be mafrish chala net, and that'll be matel lemafreya That'll take off the Yisr Tevel HaMafer from everything that you ate. The Minchas Yitzchok, he used to be the Abbezin by the Eidach HaRed, is dying wise. He has many volumes of Tshuvas, 13 volumes on Shabbos and Tshuvas. So Minchas Yitzchok has a Tshuva where he discusses the possibility. Guy's 85 years old and he becomes a Baal Tshuva, and then he realizes all of his life he's been eating Tevel. He's been eating, he lives in Chutz Lortz, he's been eating bread, no one was ever Mafish Challah. So he says, simple solution. Take a batter, take a dough now, that they making a challah now, and have them say, I want to be mafresh challah from this, and all the bread that I ate in the last 85 years. Would that work? Can you do that trick? So he quotes the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Tosfos in the first Perek in Nida. Well, it really belongs somewhere else, but we don't have any Talmud Bavli on Mishnah is challah, so it happens to be in Nida, Dav Zayin Amaral. So Tosfos said, this trick only applies if you're mafish from this batch of dough. I bake cake and cookies, so from the same cake that I ate 99% of it, I left over 1%, then I'll be mafish challah at the end. But if I'll be mafish challah, I eat up the whole cake and I'll be mafish challah from a different batch of dough. That's not going to help. So he writes, obviously that's not going to work. The guy, 85 years old, can't be mafish challah later.
What's the story with Pasakum?
Pasakim is indeed prohibited midirabbanan because it may lead to intermarriage, but Ashkenazim are more mekel than the Svardim. Ashkenazim are mekel. That paspalter is mutter. If the baker bakes for the public, he bakes for everybody. So why should you assume I'm going to fall in love with his daughter more than a guy? Mr. Amananju is going to marry his daughter. He makes the bread from everybody, but if it's taka my next door neighbor, he's a non-Jew, and he doesn't bake for the public, he bakes for his own family, and then he gives me a challah, he gives me a roll or something, or a cake, and I know all the ingredients are kosher, so then you're not allowed to eat it, then it's taka pasakum. We're mekel on paspalter, and not only are we mekel on bread, strictly speaking, the reason for the heter paspalter is ki al alechem yichya adam. Bread, years ago, used to be the staple of all the meals. People would have 8 slices of bread, a little piece of fish, and a little piece of chicken, whatever. Not like today, that we hardly ever eat any bread. So because the bread was so major a part of the meal, so that's why there had to be mekel, because it was considered a shas hatrak. So they were mekel on the paspalter.
Once he bakes it, you don't have to take, if I'm going to eat the bread now, I don't have to take off.
No, if at the time that he needed the dough, it belonged to a non-Jew, no. Then it's not chayim chal.
Isn't it like you can make this deal that was saying at the end that since I'm eating it now, I can have in mind that on this bread I'm going to take off a fresh schal. Once the guy makes it, there's no Indian.
It's not chayim chal. Once it belonged to a non-Jew at the time of the lisha, it's not chayim chal. The Mishnah has an interesting case. A non-Jew has a bakery, and he decides he wants to convert, and then he goes to the mikveh in the middle when they're baking something. So you have to look at the clock. If he was tovel before they made the mixing of the flour with the water, then he's Jewish, then it's chayim chal. And if he went to the mikveh, if he converted after they already did the lisha, not chayim chal. Even though it belongs to the Jew, the ger, at the time of the baking in the oven. The baking in the oven is not mechayev, yeah. So years ago, I remember in Eretz Yisrael, there was a...
I mean,
if you have an afia, yeah?
Right.
Okay. But what if it belonged...
So what if it belonged...
If it was a blila ova... But what if it was a blila ova and it belonged to a non-Jew, then it won't be chayv later, just because you did an afia. It won't be chayv later. I mean, what if it belonged to a non-Jew and it was a blila raka? Then he converted in between the blila raka and the afia. Maybe then we would be machmer. I don't know. That could be. You have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. That could be. Yeah, there are a lot of details. I remember years ago. Yeah, mikra, then we paskin, when you have a mind to do an afia, then you chayv right away when you mix the flour with the water. So you mafresh then right away, and he says, but the shach recommends to be choshish for the rabbi Natamshita that if you did a blila rako, you're not chayim chal until after you do the afir. So he says, then if the time of the afir belonged to a Jew, time of the blila rako belonged to a non-Jew, but he converted, and at the time of the afir belongs to a Jew, then it probably would be chayv. Could well be. the good will be. I remember many years ago, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, there was a very common practice that all the Fruma Yeshiva Bachrim didn't trust the Hashgacha of the Rabbanut on the sodas. So they used to buy a bottle of soda and drink most of the bottle and leave over the end and say the Mafresh Trumas and Maisa on what they left over in the end. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa was aware of this improper practice, and he says that it's against the halacha. He said this din, Ochel v'Holach v'Akach Mafresh, you're allowed to eat all the tevel on the smach that you're going to be Mafresh later. He quotes that's only a kul and chalas chutz lards. It doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael to Trumas and Maisa, that's only Rabban. Only a kul and chalas chutz lards, because the Gemara M'chur is Dav Chav Zayin on the base, gives you a series of kulas, one after the other, that only applies to chalas chutz lards. See, this shaila, what's the nature of the din? Is it that there's an isa tevel, but you can be matarit la mafreya? Well, no, it's only a mitzvah safrasha, there's no isa tevel. So this is a machlekes in Hilchas Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, Shcholi is b'Shabbos, so the balabasta baked chalas for Shabbos, and she forgot to be mafresh chala from the chalas. And you're not allowed to be mafresh chala on Shabbos. So what are you going to do? So they say you can eat all the chametz you want Erev Pesach in the morning. Erev Pesach Choli is b'Shabbos. So you can eat the challah, eat up all the challahs, and you won't be mafresh challah. You have no choice. You can't be mafresh challah. Or they say, no, what are you talking about? You're eating tevel. You're not allowed to eat it, because you're only allowed to eat it oichel v'hoilach, on the smach, then you're going to be mafresh achakach. You're not going to be mafresh achakach. You can't be mafresh challah on Shabbos, and then you're not going to leave it, because you'll violate by your by matzah. You're going to see to it, you have to get rid of it. So you're not allowed to eat oichel v'hoilach if it isn't going to lead up to achakach mafresh later on. So the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behet of Anhilchus Erev Pesach, Shchali Yisrael Shabbos, quotes this from the Knesset Yecheskel, from the early Achrenim. They had this machlokes. What's the nature of the din of Chalas Chutzlords? I remember when we learned in Yeshiva years ago, machlokes Rav Baron Soloveitchik and Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik from Boston, thought that it's an Isit Tevel and Yemata Lamafre. Rav Baron Soloveitchik always used to say, no, it's only a mitzvah safrash. It's only a mitzvah safrash. So he used to suggest the mitzvah safrasha is only on the bakery. If I buy from the bakery, maybe there isn't even a mitzvah safrasha. It's usually not assumed like that. It's usually assumed that it's really tevel. If I buy from the bakery, it's tevel. So you say, you have a chiv to be mafresh. And you're allowed to eat it, vachakach mafresh, only on the smach that you really got to be mafresh later on. It's not going to lead up to a hafrasha later on. So you're not allowed to eat in the first place. Then you have the parsha and chumash of... He has to say it. He has to say it before he starts to drink. You have to say it like that. That's a question. We say, Ein b'rera b'deraisa v'yesh b'rera b'derabbanan. So does that mean every single din derabbanan is yesh b'rera? Maybe we should distinguish between a din derabbanan that's ikar min haTorah and a din derabbanan that's not ikar min haTorah. So the Chazon Ish raises this possibility. That maybe even though Truma b'zman hazeh is only derabbanan, the Rama says we follow that Rambam, that Truma b'zman hazeh is only derabbanan, but maybe that's called the Ikara Deraisa. The Din of Truma says of Chumash. So maybe you have no right to apply Yesh Breri with Rabban. So that's a Chazon Ish, is Ma'ora that Suffolk. He wants to be Machmer on that. Then the Torah has a special Din. This is an exception to the rule. And Parshas Vayikra and Tzav, we had the Dinim. If a person violates an Aver B'Shogeg, which if he would have done it B'mezit, he would have been Chayv Karis. So if he violates Aver B'Shogeg, he's Chayv to bring a Chatos. What if the Bez Nagorol made a mistake and they paskin that you're allowed to eat this chelu, you're allowed to eat these kind of chometz, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos by turning on lights, whatever, and Rov HaTzibur Sheberetz Yisrael violate the Aver based on the Pesach and the Bez Nagorol? Instead of requiring of each and every person who violated the Aver, they should bring a Karben Chatos, so the Parsha says in Vayikra, the Bez Nagorol brings a Parhal and Dovash Al Tzibur. So that's by all of the Lamed Vav Krisos Amures Bator, the 36 Averis. That's the opening Mishnah increase. There are 36 Averis, which the punishment is Koris. So, here in Parsha Shlach, the Chumash singles out Avodah Zarah. If the individual person violated Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, he doesn't bring a Kizba Osira. It says instead he brings an Eiz, a Zachar. Kizba Osira is an Ikeva. He has to bring an Eiz Bashnasa Lachatas. And if the Bez Nagorl Paskin, that a certain, it's never going to happen in a million years. Never tell. There's no gadol paskin that a certain kind of avodah zarah, you're allowed to worship the computer. That's okay. Avodah zarah is only sticks and stones, whatever, statues. But this you're allowed to worship. So if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake in Psak, and Rav Hatziba Sheberetz Yisrael worship this Avodah Zarah, based on the Psak of Bez Nagodl, while then, so instead of bringing Par Halam Dabar Shal Tzibur, so the Parsha says in Shlach, what you bring? Bring a Par La'oyla, a series in Rechatos. So this is an exception to the rule. From Lam of Av Krisus, Hamur is Batayra, so 35 of them have one din of Chatos, and one has an exception to the rule. Avodah Zarah is different. That's how the Gemara interprets the pasuk. Ramban has a whole different interpretation over here, but it's not what it says in the Gemara. Then the Torah has the parsha of the Mekoshish. The Mekoshish was Mechal Shabbos, and they didn't know what Misa. They were told Mechal Aleha Mos Yumas. They were told one is Mechal Shabbos Chai Misa, but the Arba Misas Hamuris Bater, the Skila Sveifa Herkhenik. So it says, Vayanicha Osa Bamishma, they put him in prison, Kilo Parish, Maya Yasala. They knew that it's Chai Misa. Not the same as the Megadev. The Megadev, they didn't know Bechlal or this Chai Misa. They didn't know, maybe it's a joke. Someone curses God. Maybe it's a joke. The Baruch Shalom sits in heaven and he laughs at the guy is cursing him. It says in Tilim. So they didn't know Bechlal. What's the nature of a Megadev? So the Baruch Shalom said, no, it's a serious Avera. He gets Gila. Here they knew that the Mekoshish was Chai Misa, but they didn't know Be'ez Misa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that it's Be'ez. The Tosfos and Gemara Sanhedrin is bothered with the kasha on this story of the Mekoshish. We have a klal in the Gemara called Misa Hamura Batara Stam Eina Elachenik. If you don't know which of the four, the Skila, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. The Gemara, the Mishnah says there were two cemeteries for the Harugi Bezin. You're not permitted to bury Tzadik Eitzel Rasha. And if you know that one person is a Rasha, he violated 100 Averis. The other one violated 101 Averis. If someone is keeping track, you're not allowed to bury them one next to the other. Who keeps track? Who is keeping track? So we assume all the people from the Mizrahi violate the same number of Averis, so they have one cemetery plot. All the people from the Aguda roughly violate the same number of Averis, we can calculate, so we bury them in a different cemetery. All the people from Nishul violate the same number of Averis, so we put them, if someone's really keeping track, then you're not allowed to bury Rosh HaEshel Tzadik. So the Mishnah has that there were two cemeteries that the Bezin had for the Haruge Bezin, one for Niskolim and Asrafim, one for Nerogim and Echnokim. So the Gemara asked Akasha, Niskolim and the Nisrafim are not the same level of Averis. One is Mohammed than the other. So you should really require four different cemeteries. One for Skila, Sreif, Erech, Chenik. Gemara says, Hilchus of Gemiri law. You can't ask any Kasha, Allah, Moshe, Messiah. Two cemeteries. So from Skila and Sreif, which is worse? And from Herig and Chenik, Herig is Saif. Herig and Chenik, which one is worse? So that's a Machlok Yisataray. So we paskin Skila is the worst, Skila, Sreif, Sayef Chenek. Chenek is the lowest. So the Mela Stam Misa Amura Batara Ein Ala Chenek. If it says someone's Chai Misa, it doesn't say Skila Sreifa Sayef. If it doesn't say one of the above, so you go to Hakel, suffering the partial Hakel, so you only give him a Chenek. So that's Taisus Kasha. If they were told Mechalalea Mos Yumas, and they weren't told which form of Misa he should get, so it should have been Chenek. So why they put him in prison, Kila Parish Mayu Asalo, whenever it's La Parish, then Allah says that it's Chenek. That's Taisus Kasha. So Taisus answers an interesting answer. They had, that's what they thought the din was, that it should be Chenek. But here they had a suffix, maybe the Mekoshish did it, he was Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia, in front of everybody. Beyimtzu ish, Mekoshish hates him, in front of everybody. He was Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia. And the Gemara in Chulan Daf Hei says, Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia, Dina Koibet Avodizor, and Oibet Avodizor is Beskilo. So that was the twist over here. They thought Stami Samar Batar Ein Alechenik, so Mechal Shabbos is Bechenik. That maybe this guy deserves Skila because he did it Bifarhesia. Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesia Dina Ko Ebed Avedazor Ebed Avedazor is Beskila. So that's what they said. So they didn't know what to do. VaYanicha Osa BaMishma. They put him in prison. Kila Parash. Ma'ayi Osa Lo. Should he get Chenik or should he get Skila? So what did Rabbanu Shlomo answer? Give him Skila. So Rabbi Kiveh Gireas on the side of the Gemara. So maybe he's only Skila by Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia. And if the guy's Mechal Shabbos Elo Befrahesia, maybe it is Chenek. So how does the Mishnah know that Mechal Shabbos Betzina is Skila? That's Rabbi Kiveh Gireas Kasha in the Gilyan Ashas. Remember, Rabbi Broi once told me a teretz on the Kasha. I don't remember what. I always try to reconstruct what he said. Maybe he has in his swarm. I don't know. I just remember he said over Rabbi Kiveh Gireas Kasha in the Gilyan Ashas and said a teretz. But that's the kasha here. What exactly did the Mekoshesh do? He was Mechal Shabbos. The Olam Ates all this Malachas. It's very unclear. So the Tanoim have three shitas. So the word Mekoshesh, Mekoshesh Eitzim, Mekoshesh Eitzim, there's a word Tevin Bekash. So there's a question whether the word Kash, the usage of the word Kash in Biblical Hebrew means one thing and Talmudic Hebrew means a different thing. I think in Biblical Hebrew, I think it refers to things that are Mechuba Lakarka. And in Talmudic Hebrew, I think the word Kash refers to detached. So that's what one opinion in Tanaim was. Mekoshesh Eitzim means that he detached it, he made it into Kash. The other Tanaim reject that. What are you talking about? In Biblical Hebrew, the word Kash doesn't mean Tolish. The word Kash means Mechuber. My Mechutner, Rabbi Posen, published a whole essay about this many years ago. So I think that's what he says. That the first Tana says, Mekoshesh violated Kotzer, because he understood Mekoshesh means he made the stuff into Kash. And the usage of the verb Kash is like it appears in the Talmud. Kash means Tolush, not Mechuber. And the other Tanoim all disagree that in Biblical Hebrew you can't translate it like that. So what did he do? So the other Tana says, the word lekoshesh in Hebrew means, the other psukim in Tanakh, means to gather things together. So one Tana says that he violated ma'amer. If you, someone already detached the peiros that were growing from the ground, so that's kotzer. So let's say someone did that v'chol. Someone already violated that kotzer. And then I gathered together all the stuff, mokum gidulo min ha'aretz, and I tie it up into a bundle, I make it into a one unit, so that's the violation of ma'amer. If I gather together things, mimokum gidulo. If I have a bag of apples, and I take it home, and the bag opens, and all apples roll on the floor, and I gather the apples together, and I put it back in the bag, that's not called ma'amer. Ma'amer is only mimokum gidulo. But if all the apples fell down from the tree and they're sitting exactly where they fell down, then I gather them together. That's taka violation. That's one of the lamentas of his malachas. Ma'amer, if you gather together things. So one Tana says that what he did was ma'amer. The other Tana says, working on the assumption that lekoshesh doesn't mean to detach from the ground. The other Tana says he was ma'amadal ramas b'shusa. He carried. Whatever it was, he was mahol Shabbos. He did some kind of form of chila Shabbos. Why was he such a pikeach? Chal Shabbos beferhesyan. What kind of a chachma is that? So Tesis in Perek Yesh Neuchlin quotes a medrash on this pasuk that the Mekoshesh was l'shem shamayim niskavin. That he, right after the Chet HaMeraglim, said they were told, you're all going to be punished, everyone's going to die in the Midbar, you're not going to live so long to see Eretz Yisrael. Your children will survive, they'll see Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to live so long. Hey, we're not going to live so long to get Eretz Yisrael, so what do we have to keep mitzvahs? So the whole idea of keeping mitzvahs, you keep the mitzvahs, I'll give you Eretz Yisrael. If we're not going to live so long anyway, so why do we have to keep mitzvahs? So he saw that the Koshish saw that a lot of people were making up their minds, Chachamim, we don't have to keep any mitzvahs anymore, because it's not going to lead to anything. So he went out of his way to be Mechal Shabbos Befehesia to see to it that he should get Misa to teach all the people, all the dinim still apply, even though we were told we're not going to live so long to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's what Tosis says. That the Mekoshesh, Tosis quotes such a medrash on this post. The Mekoshesh was l'shem shamayim niskaven. Then the Balei Tosis on Chumash quote a comment that today, right after the parasha of Mekoshesh, you have the parasha of Tzitzis. Is there any connection between the Mekoshesh and Tzitzis? So the Daskenim Balei Tosis, I think, say, yeah, it's a good idea that we should all wear Tzitzis on Shabbos because the Tzitzis will remind us not to be Mechal Shabbos. Just like the Mekoshesh was l'shem shamayim niskavin, he wanted to make a whole public demonstration that the law, the mitzvahs, and the Torah still apply, even though we're not going to live so long to get there. It's Yisrael, so we should all have something to remind us all the time to observe all the mitzvahs. So it's a good idea to wear tzitzis on Shabbos. That's an interesting comment because in the Rishonim they quote that the Maharam Rutenberg wore tzitzis all week long, and on Shabbos he wouldn't wear tzitzis. So what is that all about? Why did he not wear tzitzis on Shabbos? So then Itziv has a tshuva about this. And he points out that the Maharam Rutenberg had quite a few Talmidim. So he claims that the different Talmidim gave different reasons for the practice of the Maharam Rutenberg. And he claims that one reason is correct, the other reason is incorrect. He says those who were closer to the Maharam Rutenberg knew the real reason why he didn't wear tzitzis. And those who were not so close made up in their minds a different reason. So... The Pasuk says in Chumash, when you put tzitzis on the beged, you have to have trelis and you have to have lovan. What about for many years the trelis was lost? So maybe you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that's a machlokes HaTanaim, Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's opinion is trelis makeves ha-salovan, but lovan makeves ha-trelis. You have to have two parts to the tzitzis, you have to have lovan and trelis. And if you're missing either one or the other, you only can have one. Without the other, there's no use in doing the mitzvah show so much shalom b'shalom musa, you're not yet to anything. So you shouldn't even waste your time. Shouldn't bother to put on any tzitzis. The Baal HaMor in Perek Lama Medlikin, his commentary on there, Baal HaMor thinks that the din should be like Rebbe. And that's what the Ramban writes there in Muhammad, that we heard that the Baal HaMor never wore tzitzis. He never wore tzitzis all of his life. That was his psak. He passed like Rebbe. And all the other Rishayim, the Muhammad there says that we pass him like the Chachamim. That Trelis Enim Akevis Has Halovan Valovan Enim Akevis Has Trelis. It's a mitzvah Shalom B'Shlei Musa. More correct is to do the mitzvah B'Shlei Musa. But if you don't have both available, you only have one or the other. If you only put one string in one corner, you don't get partial credit. But if you put Lovan without Trelis, they put Trelis without Lovan, so then that's a mitzvah Shalom B'Shlei Musa. So you'd say partially. So the Netziv claims in his tshuva that those Talmidim who were closer to the Maharam Butberg knew the real reason why he wouldn't wear tzitzis out in the street on Shabbos. In the house he would wear, but in the street he wouldn't wear. Why? Because he was choshish for the Shitas Baal HaMor, who paskens like Rebbe, a trelis makevis and salov, and they didn't have any trelis. So the strings that you have are accomplishing nothing. So it's a masui. If you wear a garment and you have strings that make it look good, a design on a woman's dress or a man's jacket or whatever, okay, so that's part of the design. But if you put strings of tzitzis on a beged, it doesn't beautify the beged. So if you yotze a mitzvah with that, or yotze a mitzvah partially with that, so then it's a batalag of the beged, so there's no violation of haitzah. But if you all like the Baal HaMor, that there's no kima mitzvah at all in wearing lovin without trelas, so the lovin that you have is a masuk, so you're not allowed to wear it in the street. So the Netziv claims that those Talmidim who are closer to the Maharam Rutberg knew that the real reason why he wouldn't wear in the street is because he was choshish for the Shitas Baal HaMor. Atcheles me'akeves ha'salov. Those Talmidim who were not so close, they didn't know the real reason, so they made up on their own. He was choshish, maybe a string would rip. Maybe one of the strings would rip and it would be puzzle at tzitzis, and if the tzitzis is puzzle, then it's haitzah. Then, because if it rips in such a way that you're not yet to the mitzvah. That's what he claims, yeah.
According to the ones that during the week, that you shouldn't wear tzitzis, the Rebbe said, there was one person.
Baal HaMor never wore tzitzis, right? Because he paskin like Rebbe, that if you don't have trelis and lovin both together, so there's no partial mitzvah at all. We pointed out, we were learning the other day, so we were talking about sometimes you do a mitzvah shalom b'shalom musa, so you yotze partially. But if it's very much shalom b'shalom musa, then you're not yotze at all. So the Baal HaMor paskins like Rebbe that this is too much shalom b'shalom.
They never wore at all. Yeah. Even on Shabbat.
Yeah, you don't gain anything by wearing that. That was his opinion. Remember when we learned that Baal HaMor, so Rav Soloveitchik was surprised. You mean they buried him without a talus? That he never wore tzitzis all of his life. And they buried him without a talus. That's what he was surprised about. Yeah. There's a sefer Revid Hazov on Chumash that was written by one of the Dayanim in Vilna during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon. The Sefer of the Torah Tmima is based heavily. He writes an introduction. He's using the Revid Hazov. That's one of the major sources for the Torah Tmima. Revid Hazov gives all these marmakimus that the Torah Tmima, all the Yerushalmis and all the Toseftas and everything and more. So he says sometimes he has original chidushim. So he has a suggestion on the pasuk to demonstrate that the din is against Rebbe, that Chelis is not Me'akevis HaSalavan. So he says, it says in the Chumash, V'yosolahem tzitzis ha'kanti v'gdeim lidorosam, throughout all the future generations. So he says, the word lidorosam means throughout all the future generations, even if you live in a generation where the Chelis is not available. So that's a right from the word lidorosam, that the din is Chelis is not Miakevis. Where did he get this Einfal? The Dorosa means that all the future generations, even in a generation where you can't do it completely. So he got it from the Gemara increases Daf Tesam and Aleph. We learned the Sugya, the three Dafim in the middle of Yevamos about Gerus. So the Gemara says in increases Daf Tesam and Aleph, A non-Jew who wants to convert has to have mila, has to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, and he has to have a korban, bris mila, if he's a man, he has to have tefillah and a mikveh, then he has to bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Korban oilo. So the Gemara says, so bizman shein Beis HaMikdash kaim, how can you accept any gerim? He can't bring a korban. So the Gemara says, no, the pasuk says, v'chiyogar itcha ger l'dor esechem. L'dor esechem means throughout all the future generations, even if you live in a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash. So just like the Gemara says, there increases daftes and manalach. Chiyagrit chamger l'darisecha means even in all the generations, even if it's impossible to bring the korban is not miyakem. So here also, v'asulam tzitzos kamigdem l'dayroisam, the obligation to put tzitzos around all the future generations, even if you live in a generation when there's no tchelos. It's not exactly the same. Not the same. Because the Chumash speaks about the possibility of a korban based on migdash. Hashimosi has migdash shechem. The Chumash talks about a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash. The Chumash never talks about a generation where there's no Tchelos. So the evidence says, the Dorei Sechem, throughout all the future generations that we're talking about in the Chumash itself, from inside the Chumash, it talks about a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash. But the Chumash never talks about a generation where there's no Tchelos. It's not exactly the same. But that's his suggestion.
That
there's going to be a generation where it's going to be lost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about that?
I thought when a person's chayim misa, you have to give them hasara, you have to tell them which misa they're going to be chayim.
So
they didn't know which
misa the
kosher is going to be
chayiv. Right, so that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether you have to give a hasra ba'osa misa or just the chiv misa. So if you hold you have to give a hasra which particular misa, then you have to assume that the mekoshish was a hayra shah hoisa. The Gemara asked your kash. It's a very good kash. Gemara Sanhedrin asked that kash in the pace. And if you hold that you just give a hasra misa stam, so then it wasn't a hayra shah. Then it wasn't. The Megadda for sure is Hayra Ashur that they gave Misa. They didn't give him any Hasra. They didn't know if he's Chayv Misa at all. So Megadda for sure was a Hayra Ashur that he got the death penalty. They didn't even know in advance. But the Mekoshish, they knew that there's Misa. They didn't know there is a Misa, so they gave Hasra Misa stop. Then it turned out that they gave him a Skila.
They know who the Mekoshish was.
The Gemara has a discussion who the Mekoshish was. Yeah. The Gemara has a discussion. Taisis in Gittin Memhem and Beis quotes a chiddush from the Rabbeinu Tam that you cannot allow a woman to tie tzitzis on the garment because a woman is Zayna B'Toiras. The Gemara says that a woman cannot write tefillin because a woman is not mechuyev in tefillin. Ukshayta mechsaftim and chumish dvar mi darshan smuchim. If you have two psukim and bereshis through Bamidbar, we assume you don't darshan smuchim. We darshan hekish. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called hekish. We assume there's a connection. But if you have two psukim, one next to the other, that's a machlokes hatanaim, and yivam is dafei. And generally, assume we don't darshan smuchim except for Mishnah Torah. Chumash Dvarim, we have many, 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 many famous drushes that are based on smuchim, one pasuk next to the other. So in Parshas Kriya Shema, we have two psukim, one next to the other. Mekshatim lo sal yadecha v'heret tovis ben erecha, chsaftam al mezuzah beisecha v'sherecha. So the Gemara says the men who are mechuyev to put on tefillin can write a mezuzah. Chsaftam al mezuzah beisecha. Women. Not mechuyev to put on tefillin because a mitzvah says the shazman grama. Women are possible for writing a mezuzah, so you have to be a bar kshira. So the Rabbi Natam says the same over here by tzitzis. The women are not mechuyev to wear tzitzis because it's a mitzvah says the shazman grama. The Gemara said that's a machloekes satanaim where the women are not mechuyev to wear tzitzis. So the Gemara says that there were some amoraim who made tzitzis on their wives begodim because they held that tzitzis is not a zman grama. So machloekes says. So half of the Tanaim say prat leksus laila. Half of the Tanaim don't darshan like that. So if you hold that laila is mechuyev, so then it's not as zman grama. If you hold that ksus laila is pater, then it is as zman grama. That's how the Gemara says. Tosfos has a kasha. Tosfos, there's a machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. What does it mean prat leksus laila? So Tosfos shita is that it means pajamas are pater from tzitzis. If you have a ksus amyuchad la laila, garments that you wear only at night, and you don't normally wear them in the daytime. So such a beggar is potter from tzitzit. But if you have a talis that you wear in the daytime, it's not miyuchet for nighttime. So even if you wear the talis balayla, you put on the talis and you say a bracha, you're mechuyev. It's a ptura, ksus layla. And the Rambam doesn't present it like that at all. That's in Shulchan Aruch, quote machlekes, the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rosh is the end of the Bali HaTesis. He's saying what Tesis says. Tesis in a few places says like that. They quote a Yerushalmi like that. The ksus layla means pajamas are potter from tzitzis. But a ksus yom balayla would be chayv in tzitzis. And the Rambam says that layla is potter. So Tesis asks on their own shita, if we hold that it's a ptura on pajamas, it's not a ptura layla. So why do you call it a mitzvah says the shazman groma? The zman is mechayv and the tzitzis is man patas. According to the Rambam, we understand it very well. By yom yichayv and tzitzis, by layla you're not chayv. So that's called the mitzvah saseh, shahazman groma. But according to Tesis, it's not the zman is not mechayv and tzitzis. If you have a three-cornered garment, you're not mechayv and tzitzis. It has to be a special kind of a garment. So if you have a garment that's pajamas, so the Torah said pajamas are not chayv, that's not a zman groma. So Tesis has that kash on themselves. So Tesis answers that it's a problematic answer. Tesis says that since Zman plays a role in determining the chiyuv, namely pajamas are ksus laila. So since Zman plays a role in determining the chiyuv tzitzis, so that is also called a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. It's problematic. The question was better than the answer. The question is, why should it be a zman groma? So that's so the Gemara says that was a machlekes hatanoim, whether he darshan urisimos and patla ksus laila. And as a machlokes amoraim, and half of the amoraim would put on tzitzis on their wives' garments, because they held that it's not as zman groma, so women are just as obligated as the men. But we don't pass like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we assume women are not chayv in tzitzis. And in fact, the Rambam says that even though the women volunteer to listen to tkiyas, and women volunteer to shake a lulav, to do the other mitzvahs as zman groma, they don't volunteer tzitzis and they don't volunteer tefillin. Those are the two that are assumed to be exceptions to the rules. The question why, but that's what the Rambam says. So the Rabbeinu Tam has this chiddush in Tosfos that since women are ena b'toras mitzvah tzitzis, so they cannot tie the tzitzis for the men. Whoever's ena b'toras cannot tie. So Tosfos asks, where did he get it from? The Gemara by Ksivas Mezuzah has a drasha from a pasuk. Ukshartem achzapten mechumish dvarim yidashin smuchim. So mishiyeshtem b'kshira, yeshtem b'ksiva. The men who are mechuyev and putting on tefillin, so they're able to write the mezuzah. The women aren't mechuyev and tefillin, so they're not kosher to write the mezuzah. So you have a drasha from a pasuk. Here there is no drasha. So why should you say that a woman is possible for tying the tzitzis? Then yes, there's a gemara in Sukkah, daf chesam and beis. The gemara has two brises. Sukkah is gambach, is kosher. Gambach is a rosh tev, it's gimel, nun, beis, chav. And sukkahs rakvash, reish kuf beishin. So these eight sukkahs, gamach is four sukkahs, and rakvash another four sukkahs. The eight sukkahs are kosher, even though they're flimsy. What are they? So sukkahs gamach is goyim, noshim, behemoth, and kusim. So it's beferish. A woman made a sukkah that says that it's kosher. The women are not chayv in sukkah, it's a mitzvah man groma. That everybody agrees women are not chayv in sukkah. That's a holidays. That was never a machlekes satanoim. And everybody, and the brisa says that a sukkah, a woman's sukkah is kosher. So maybe one can interpret a woman's sukkah means a sukkah made by a man that women should sit in. It wasn't made for men to sit in, it was made for women. Let's say sukkah's behema. What does it mean sukkah's behema? The behema made a sukkah? No, a man made a sukkah that a behema to give shade for behemas. So maybe just like sukkah's behema, the gambach is goyim noshim behemas kusim. So just like sukkah's behema doesn't mean the behema made the sukkah, it means it was made by a human being for a behema. So maybe sukkah snosha means that the women didn't make the sukkah. Maybe a Jewish man made the sukkah. A man made it that a woman should sit in it. But Taisa doesn't think that's pshat. Pasha pshat sukkah snosha means a woman made the sukkah. And still you can be yotze the mitzvah in the sukkah. So how can there be any time? The reason because there's no pasuk that requires yesh and b'tor. So here there's no pasuk either. So how can there be any time make up such a din? So the Achrayim explain what the Rabbeinu Tam is talking about. Rabbeinu Tam holds that a woman is possible for writing tefillin. You'd never even need a possible. A woman is Eina B'Torah's tefillin, so she's not... Whoever is Eina B'Torah's can't create Lishmo. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam assumes. Whoever is Eina B'Torah's cannot create Lishmo. I need a pasuk, uchsaftam, ukshartam, uchsaftam. Whoever is not mechuyev in tefillin cannot write a mezuzah. Women are mechuyev in mezuzah. But even though a woman is mechuyev, a woman has their own apartment, A single girl has her own apartment, Almana has her own apartment, so she's mechiv to put a mezuzah on the door. But she can't write her own mezuzah. That you need a pasuk for. She's yeshtem v'toris mezuzah, she'chayvah mezuzah. So, that a woman can't write tefillin, that I knew without a pasuk. Whoever is ainu v'toris cannot create lishma. That a woman cannot write a mezuzah, even though she is v'toris mezuzah, that I need a pasuk for. And once she's pasul for writing mezuzah, she's pasul for writing a sefer Torah as well. So the Rabbeinu Tam holds over here, this is a major machlokes of Shem. When you tie the strings onto the garment, you have to tie it on lishma. When you take the wool and you make it into a string, that the Gemara says, machlokes is Rabbi Shmuel, we passing that you have to do tviyo lishma, to make the thread, to make the strings of the tzitzis from a raw wool, that has to be lishma. What about this next step of tying it onto the garment? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos. So Tosfos says a kal v'chaymer. The premise is when you make tzitzis, it has to be lishma. So making tzitzis means tying it onto the garment. And that's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, but even making it into the string also has to be lishma. Shearing off the wolf and the animal, no one holds that has to be lishma. That's too far in advance of tying it onto the garment. So we paskin, not only tying it onto the garment, not only the kshira has to be lishma, even the tviyah also has to be lishma. That was a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel in Sukkah Daf Tes Amaral. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam held. The Rama holds not so. The Rama denies it. He says tying it onto the garment can be done by a cotton. You don't need lishma. You only need lishma on the tviya. To take the raw wool and to make it into a string, that needs lishma. To tie it onto the garment, it cannot be done by a non-Jew because it says Dabel b'nei Yisrael velo hanochrim. If a non-Jew ties it on, that's no good. That's how the Gemara has a drosh. So Rabbeinu Tam says, of course it's no good. That's what it means, because you need lishma. A goy cannot tie it on because you need lishma on the kshira onto the garment. So once the Rabbeinu Tam holds that you need kshira lishma on the beged, so of course a woman is possible. You don't need a possible. A woman is possible because whoever is any b'toras cannot create lishma. That's what the Ritvo writes on Psochim and Daf Mem. The Gemara assumes that if a non-Jew bakes shmura matzah, so you can't use it for the Seder. Why not? Because the shmura matzah has to be baked lishma. And the Ritvo quotes from the Goyim, since the Nochrim, since the Goyim are any b'toras and not mechuyev in the mitzvah of matzah, so they cannot create lishma. And that's how Rab Chaim quotes once in a long, long while. Rab Chaim quotes Rab Simcha Zelig, was the Dayan in Brisk. He knew him from Valojin, so he chose him to be the Dayan in Brisk. He paskin all the Shabbos. Rab Chaim rarely paskin Shabbos. So Rab Simcha Zelig paskin all the Shabbos. So once in a while, he quotes Rab Simcha Zelig in his Seif on the Ramah. So he quotes here on Hilchas Gerishin that the din, that a Nochri cannot write a get lishma. So the Gemara says, because, well, what if you tell a goy, write it lishma, I want to divorce my wife. So the Gemara says, Nochri adaita din apshikav. The goy is thinking of his own things. What do you mean the goy is thinking? Why? You can't tame him down and tell him that he should have kavana. So he quotes up Simcha Zelig, no. It means whoever is ainu b'toras al pidin is mufka from creating lishma. That's basically what the Ritvo and Rab Chaim didn't have a Ritvo. That's what the Ritvo and Psochen quotes from the Goyim, that if a Nochri bakes matzah, by definition it's shalor the shmo, it's not shmura matzah, because a Nochri is not b'toras matzah, so whoever is any b'toras cannot create the shmo. And the mazel is that women are mechuyev and matzah, even though it's a zman grom, it's an exception to the rule. Women always bake the matzahs. For centuries, the women made. Now they have a lot of men in the factories, but for years and years in Europe, the women, almanas, used to bake the matzahs. If the women would have been potter for matzah, they would have been puzzled for making the matzah, because we would have said that by definition it's shalor lishma. So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch quotes, I remember when I was a little boy before Bar Mitzvah in the young Israel of Tremont, so my grandfather was the shamus in the shul, and he taught me how to tie tzitzis. I used to tie the tzitzis on the talesim in the shul. So that's a machlokes whether the talisim were kosher or not. Because if you need lishma, a katan al pidin is a labada, so you can't create lishma. They didn't ask any shaylos. The rabbi was a talmid chacham, but they didn't ask him. He probably didn't know what was going on in the shul. So when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that, the two opinions, whether you need lishma by tying on the tzitzis, and the mele, whether a woman is kosher for tying on the tzitzis on the garment, so Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page refers you to the Panim Yofes on Chumash. Panim Yofes is written by the Haflo. That was the Rebbe of the Hasam Sefer. The Haflo was the Rav in Frankfurt. So he has Pilpulim ala Torah. So on this pasuk he says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'mat alem, yos alohem tzitzis. So he has an interpretation. Dibur is usually Loshen Kosha. Ve'amart alem is Loshen Raka. So he interprets, Dabel b'nei Yisrael. tell the men that they should tell their wives, they should tell their wives that they should tie tzitzis on the begodim. So he says, you see from the pasuk that you may tell your wife to tie the tzitzis on the garment. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, that they should be amar talem, they should tell their wives. Amir aloshen raka. No. That's al derech achidut. That was his suggestion. The Gemara says that there were several disputes between Beisil and Mishamai regarding Hilchas Tzitzis. And Rabbi Bar Bachana was once in Gemara Perek HaSfina, beginning of Perek HaSfina, says that Rabbi Bar Bachana was once traveling in the Midbar, and an Arab told him, you want to see the Mase Midbar, the Jews who died in the Midbar? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he said, yeah. So he gave him a whole grand tour, and he saw the Mase Midbar. And when he came back to the yeshiva, after the whole tour was over, so they said, did you look at the tzitzis? Do you count how many strings? Is Beis Shammai right or is Beis Hillel right? Do you have four strings? We do like Bishama. We have four strings and make eight out of it. Or do you have three strings and you make six out of it? So they said it did. So Rabbi Baba Chana says it didn't occur to me. So they screamed to him, what an idiot you are. You're a dope. Rabbi Baba Chana is a tippish. That's what the Gemara says. He should have checked. So you see from that Gemara, Alpi Pashtas, that archaeological evidence counts in Halacha. Alpi Pashtas. If he would have found the Mesa Midbar, they had tzitzis like this or like that. That would have passed on halacha. Some say we don't recognize archaeological evidence. That's sometimes you can't accept. The Rambam doesn't accept. The Gemara has machlokes whether the tzitz said kodesh Lashem on one line or it said kodesh la and yud kei vav kei was on a higher line. You read it like this. So the Gemara says one of the Tanaim was in Rome, and they showed him in the Vatican the tzitz, and it was all on one line. And the Rambam paskins against that. It's on two lines. Kodesh La and Yud Kei Vav Kei Zayin. So the Kes Mishnah says, what about the archaeological evidence? So the Kes Mishnah gives a different answer. He says, look, there was a machlokes HaTanoim. The Tanoim had the machlokes lived after the Churban HaBayis. But he says, maybe the same machlokes existed in Zman HaBayis. And every time they had a different Kohen Gadol, for years and years, they had a different Kohen Gadol. So the tzitz has to fit your forehead. So there must have been 101 tzitzin sitting around there. If you have a narrow forehead, if you have a wider forehead, and so on. So half of them are like this, half of them are like that. So it doesn't show anything. So sometimes you don't rely on archaeological evidence because it doesn't prove anything. Let's say they found tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam and they carry Yecheskel HaNavi. So they say, oh, it's all right that in the days of Yecheskel HaNavi they were tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So other Acharonim said, no, Nehuchas tefillin, the Prisha on the bottom of the page of the tour, quotes this whole discussion. So the Rechaim say, no, they were puzzled. That's why if they made film like Rabbeinu Tam, they're puzzled. That's why they buried them. Whenever you have puzzle of film, you have to put it in Shemus. That's why they buried it. So maybe there always existed the film, the Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam. You can't tell just because you found one pair. You can't tell. But if he would have checked all the Mesa Midbar, we'll see in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mestam, they asked Moshe Rabbeinu. If they checked the Mesa Midbar, they would have found out they're real then. Let's say you find a mikvah and you're trying to ascertain, is it mem so or not? So the Chazanish is very machmer on the shiurim. So you find they said that they found a mikveh that's much smaller than the Chazanish's shiur. So the Chazanish said that mikveh was made by the apikursim. There were a lot of apikursim is ban by sheni that the Tanaim had a fight with. If you find a mikveh from the Chachamim, it'll be my size. That's what the Chazanish claims. My shiur is the correct shiur. So you can rely on archaeology, but you have to know that it's reliable. If you find a mikveh in the Beis HaMikdash that you know the Kohanim used, under the auspices of the Chachamim. So then there'll be a riot what the Shir Memso is. But if you find a mikveh somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, it could be that they didn't ask the Rabban. That's like the tzitzis that I tied on all of Tanesim, on all of the Talesim in the Shul. No one asked any Shaila. So it was necessarily kosher. Okay, very good. B'lin Eretz tomorrow, I'd like to go through the halachas and the end of Parshas Korach. You have to turn this off?
Yeah.
Goes off.